Welcome in, everybody, to another week of That Movie Show. Mike Went, Liam Stryker.
Well, hello.
Hello, sir.
Oh, man, it's another week, another movie.
It's another week, another one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, I know. I like how I get to do this. Every single time. You know, the thing is that when I pick the, like, hey, this is my favorite movie, you like it. When you do it, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Well, the funny thing is, with the exception of this, I lined up the whole summer and you didn't have an argument.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think the summer's looking pretty good for us.
The summer's looking real good.
Next week, I don't know. Next week, it's up to you all, but we'll get there a little later.
Yeah, we will.
Because today, we're covering Hot Fuzz.
I love Hot Fuzz.
Number two in the Cornetto trilogy by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. And let's get the business out so we can get to the movie. It came out, it was released, let me see, in the United States, April 20th, 2007. I can't believe how old these movies are, first of all.
I was in high school.
Yeah, it's... No, shut up. It had a budget of $12 million. Came back with $80.7 million. I don't have the other stats, but that's going to be the most successful.
Yeah.
Of course, it was written by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. Stars Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and a whole cast of hilarious cameos.
Yeah.
Directed by Edgar Wright, and it is a gaggle of fun. It's basically their take, much like they did with Shaun of the Dead taking up the zombie genre.
Right.
This is taking up the 80s buddy cop genre.
Right. And action movie genre.
Because, action in general, yeah.
Yeah, because there's the through line of, this is another movie. You know what? I think it's just that I love Keanu Reeves. And anything that references Keanu Reeves, because they reference Point Break.
Well, here's the thing. And while we're on it, let's just jump into my first little trivia fact here. So there's a scene where they're referencing, not only referencing, they're literally sitting and watching Point Break and Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
And it seems, those of us that know filmmaking, like it's the simplest thing ever. It's just put Simon Pegg and Nick Frost on a couch, have a little glowing light for the TV, and just cut between them and cut between a TV and have them riff.
Right.
That was the most expensive scene in the entire movie, and this includes a house blowing up.
Yeah. I would imagine they had to get the license.
They needed the approval of five people.
Yep.
Not only was it they needed approval from the studios that released Bad Boys 2 and Point Break.
Yep.
They needed, because of the Crispin Glover rule, which you can Google about Back to the Future 2, they needed approval from Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Martin Lawrence,
and
Will Smith, and Patrick Swayze's stunt double.
Oh, that's right.
Because there's a shot of him climbing the thing and it wasn't Patrick Swayze. Despite the fact that the whole scene, Patrick Swayze is in a Nixon mask.
Right, so you couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell if it's him or, I mean, he has gorgeous eyes. Dalton eyes. Dalton.
Dalton.
But they needed approval from the stunt. Like, the stuntman could have just been having a bad day and be like, nah, go fuck yourself.
Right.
Pick another movie.
Yeah, right.
You know? Or fuck you, pay me.
Right. Do you know who the easiest person probably was?
Who?
Keanu.
Because he's just that cool.
He's just so nice.
He's just that cool of a guy.
Yeah, he's just that cool. Did you see that video of him with puppies?
I haven't. I've seen it all over the internet. I haven't watched it yet. It's not a Keanu movie.
I know, but I love him so much, and he's in it.
I love him so much. he's in it. I love that. Also to the fact that when they had to go and obviously get approval, because there's a lot of action movie DVDs when they're in the convenience store. So they had to go through and get licensing from all of them. And one of them is, it's actually the German release of Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
That's in the pile. And Simon Pegg's face is obscured by like a price sticker. And it was called Zombie Party in Germany.
Oh, so.
And it was that. But like, imagine if like that German release company was like, no.
Yeah, no.
It's like, no, it's our movie.
Yeah.
We're in it. This is me.
Look, it's me on the DVD.
This is me.
right.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, let's get into the DVD for a second. This thing is ridiculous. I've owned this forever. I don't know if I've ever dug into the special features. There is 8 commentary tracks.
Oh my God.
Including one with Edgar Wright and Quentin Tarantino.
What?
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino doesn't even do DVD commentary on his own movies.
Exactly. But he has one on this, From Dusk Till Dawn, True Romance, and a bunch of weird B movies.
Yeah.
When he had that Rolling Thunders Pictures, he did commentary tracks over all those, like Switchblade Sisters and okay. fucking... I think I own that one somewhere over there.
Yeah, probably.
That was a rough one to take up to the counter, even though it's a good movie. It's just, it looks like porn. It's the only thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking for it now.
Switchblade Sisters in the S section.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking. I'm trying to get to W.
W.
Because at least you were logical enough to, like, have it, like, actually... Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I can do alphabetically.
Here it is.
Switchblade Sisters.
Switchblade Sisters. Oh, yeah, this looks like a 70s porn.
Yeah, it does. Switchblade Sisters. Let me see. Yeah, and there is an introduction by Jack Hill and Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, I mean... It does. It is.
Quentin Tarantino is on the cover.
It is.
He had nothing to do with this movie.
Well, no. What happened was in the late 90s, so we are off the rails. In the late 90s.
Welcome to the show.
He basically, he started buying the rights to all these Jack Hill, especially 70s exploitation movies, and was releasing them through Miramax under Rolling Thunder Pictures.
Okay.
And I was running a video store at the time, and all of a sudden I saw one come through, and I'm like, that's Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, what the hell is this? Switchblades. All right, I'll take it home.
Yeah, right.
And it's not good. it's a 70s exploitation movie about a bunch of chicks with blades and not complicated. No. Swinging Cheerleaders was another one. You get the point.
Do you have that one?
You know what? No. Probably.
No, I don't think.
Come on, I definitely do.
Well, if it wasn't next to Switchblade Sisters,
I have to have Swinging Cheerleaders.
It's
over
not
there.
In between Switchblade Sisters and Swingers. So
is it not? I guess not, huh?
So you don't. Oh, well,
it would be after Swingers.
Nope.
Swinging after comes after Swingers.
Yeah, no, I know.
Is it there? Tell me.
Yeah, of course
it's there.
It is.
There it is. Swinging Cheerleaders. It's not porn. This is art.
It just looks like it. Is that... That looks like... Okay. Yeah, I'm not even
What does
gonna.
It say? They gave their all for the team.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
I mean, it's basically
it
like...
It looks like Dustin Hoffman's in this movie, and I know he's not.
It's pretty much, you know, we wanted to see the people in Greece fuck.
Yeah.
So we made this movie.
Of course.
For no money.
Yikes.
We cut out the car scenes.
We cut out the car scenes, but they still died at the end.
Hot fuzz.
Yeah. This movie
died at the end. Everyone died in Swinging Cheerleaders. Spoiler. It was the Infinity War of the 70s.
Everybody was really torn up about it.
The cheerleader came out. She took her top off. She waved her pom-poms around, and everybody just dusted.
Yeah.
Or there was dust on the set. That was what cocaine, people, cocaine. 1970.
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
I love the setup of Sean Penn's, not Sean Penn.
Pegg. Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Sean Penn, Simon Pegg, Swinging Cheerleaders.
Swinging Cheerleaders. Simon Pegg's character in this movie because... Nicholas Angel. He's supposed to be the superest of super cops.
He is the superest of super cops, named after the music supervisor for all three Cornetto movies.
Oh, good.
Nick Angel.
Yeah.
They didn't even fuck with you. Like, Nick Angel, which is weird when you're watching the credits going, wait, what?
Yeah, it's also such a badass name.
Nicholas Angel.
It just fits.
You're expecting like the John Woo shit that they end up doing to end up in this movie. It's like, yes, where are the doves?
Yeah, oh.
Where are the doves and double guns?
I can't wait. But it's so great because he's, you know, in London and he's making everybody look bad.
Yep.
So much so that they're like, you have to go
away. They transferred him. Like, it was like a football team. They just traded him away.
Yeah.
Like, we don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
You're making us all look terrible. Get out.
Get out.
A couple of fun cameos in this. It starts off with Martin Freeman, obviously.
Yep.
Who I will always love, not only from the original Office, but from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And then in comes, help me out with the name, Alan Partridge is what the character he played.
Oh, yeah, he's...
God, why am I blanking on his name? He's in Tropic Thunder.
Yes, he is in Tropic Thunder. He's the director in Tropic
Thunder.
Steve Coogan. Also in... No, he's not in Hamlet 2.
Yes, he is.
He is in Hamlet 2.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Alan Partridge, underrated British show, which I am... Pissed is not on any streaming service.
I love Hamlet too.
It was real. I did not expect to like that. I enjoyed that a hell of a lot more than I really thought I would or should probably.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, because they're ranking up.
Yes, right.
It's almost like, let me speak to your manager, please.
Yeah.
Let me speak to your manager, please. So we got the Steve Coogan, and he wants to go over his head to the next supervisor. In comes, of course, not Bill Nye. Why am I blanking on his name? Is it Bill Nye?
No, it's not Bill Nye.
That's the science guy.
Yeah, that's
I was just
guy.
Watching Last Week Tonight, and he was on that. You know, saying motherfucker a lot. It was weird.
That was weird.
What the fuck? He was in Love Actually.
You're going to do that? I'm going to just write for everyone's
Love Actually. He was... Come on. Bill. Yeah. Fuck, what the fuck is that name? Bill Nighy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bill Nighy.
I was fucking right. Love Actually, bitch. He's also been in a bunch of stuff. He was great in Pirate Radio as well.
Right.
So he ranks up to him, which all you know, very famous British actors. So it's kind of like that level of cameo. The other cameo that usually goes unmissed in this scene is when they're talking about his injury sustained, and they show that last shot of Santa Claus stabbing him.
Yep.
Santa Claus is Peter Jackson.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson.
That is very fun.
So he gets transferred out. They throw him a going away party, even though he was like, the troops are not going to allow it. And they're like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, they're popping champagne.
Like, congratulations, I'm moving out to the country.
Yeah.
And then we're revealed that he had a relationship with a forensics detective. And, yeah. and they broke up. And he's like standing outside the house, being like calling her, trying to be like, hey, by the way,
I'm leaving.
I'm out. Unbeknownst to many viewings, that's Kate Blanchett.
Yes. Yep.
Under the mask.
Yeah, she's so not...
There's another cameo in that scene, but I also know that the guy who... Because she's like, oh, I'm dating... he's like, who are you dating, Dave? And she's like, no. And there's two guys behind and one turns around. They're all wearing fucking masks.
Yeah, right. You can't see.
And then she's like, I'm with Bob. And then the guy turns around and waves Simon Pegg... not Simon Pegg. Edgar Wright just voiced it.
Yes.
Because why not?
Why not? Do it.
The guy who was actually Bob kind of botched his fucking line.
Yeah, apparently.
We're not calling Bob back. I can do this.
Yeah. I
Hello.
This. And also, it's just funnier.
Yeah. And we're moving out to the country.
Yeah. And so it's the safest town in Europe.
It's been voted as such. Yeah. Safest village.
The safest village in England. Yep. Or the UK.
Sure.
Or something like that. And
for like 40 years or something?
Yeah,
like
something
that?
Like that. So there's no... There have been no... crime. There's been no crime, and that's
it's because they care about the greater good.
Right.
The greater good.
Right. The greater good.
The greater good.
And so immediately he's
which can never be said once in this movie.
Immediately he's bored out of his mind, but is also noticing weird stuff.
Well, yeah, he's one of those hypersensitive type of cops. And I love Edgar Wright's editing style, for lack of a better term. It's like it's so cool. Like, even just as simple as stuff like in Shaun of the Dead, he does the coffee pour.
Right.
In The World's End, he does the beer pours. But it's that, like, snap, snap, snap,
snap. Snap.
And it's like, yeah, I don't know what I just saw, but that was awesome.
It's a great it's a great way to talk about transitions.
Yes.
Right? So transitioning from one thing to the next, it's great to visually get you there without having some sort of, like, star wipe or dissolve or something like that. It's like, hey, we got to go. We got to get to the – we have to get to the station now, and then it's stand up, grab keys, and it's so quick, so that by the time the next thing where you just show up at the station.
I feel it's not only just him. I feel it's an English thing because Guy Ritchie did it a lot in Snatch.
It is. It
like when Dennis Farina was flying from New York to England, they did a lot of that with like the stamp, the taxi, the thing, the bing, you know, just, and there's no mute. It's like sound effects mostly.
Well, it's a very interesting thing when you talk about different styles of filmmaking, right? And that is a very UK, British style of filmmaking.
Right. So we get there and he shows up. His, I guess he's staying in a hotel.
Yeah.
Room's not ready. Has a nice little back and forth, which this movie could just be called fucking foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Because every line of dialogue comes back in the end.
Everything.
Where he's talking to the woman doing crosswords, and I don't know, she calls him like an imbecile or something, and then he calls her a hag or some shit like that.
Right.
I don't fucking know the exact wording. Room's not ready. Okay. So he goes to the pub.
Yeah.
Right? He goes to the pub first, right?
Yes, he goes to the pub. He sees all of the youths.
Yeah. He orders a cranberry juice. And borrows their newspaper.
Yep.
And then spots literally every person with the exception of Nick Frost being underage. Kicks them all out.
Yep.
And great little bit of shitty... Because the pub owners, the couple that owned the bar, were very pleasant. Like,
they were.
Welcome to our town, the greater good, blah, blah, blah. It's not our paper. I don't really read the paper. One time he's called me 55. I'm actually 53. Very pleasant people.
Right.
He orders a cranberry juice. Then he kicks everybody out, and the guy's like, one other fucking cranberry juice?
Yeah,
makes
right.
him ran off all the business.
Yeah, right.
It's just him and Danny now, and Danny's shit-faced.
But he doesn't even realize that he's...
Oh, like, no, he doesn't know who he is yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know who he is.
He thinks he's just another bar patron who is of age.
And is going to drive drunk.
Yes.
So he basically arrests him.
Literally.
you know,
and then picks up the rest of the town on the way home.
Yeah.
So, one of the things, because there were a lot of cops consulting on this, they said the most, it's something that you don't see in movies, but they were so happy that they depicted it, was the tediousness of paperwork.
Yes.
Because it's, and that was another thing done through that editing style of like that, in your face. I don't even know what to call it. Hyperkinetic, whatever it is. It's,
yeah,
you know, loud sound effects done to fast cuts with weird like burn dissolves and stuff. And it was just so fucking cool. And it's paperwork.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So then we wake up in the morning. He comes in. Fun little bit that's paid off at the end, that the desk sergeant, thank you, is actually twins as opposed to just one guy who had a haggard night.
Yeah.
Because he shows up and the guy's all prim and proper, and he shows up the next morning and he is fucked beyond all repair. And it's like, oh, okay, weird. And he asks, you know, because he thinks it's the same dude. Just right. He had a bad night too. Where's the drunkard in cell four? Nobody tells me anything. He's like, what the fuck is this guy? He opens up the door and Danny's gone.
Yes.
And then Danny shows up behind him.
He's a cop.
He's a cop. Why are you dressed like a cop? He's like, because I am.
Because I am one. It's very fun. We get to see a lot of him going around meeting, you know.
Being introduced to the rest of the team.
Right. Being introduced to the rest of the team. We see everybody and kind of like all of those roles in
including
the police
Academy
stations.
Award winner Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Who's just the filthiest animal in this whole movie.
She is. She really is.
I do like the joke. It comes up when they're doing the little fair thing where the reporter's killed. It's one of the first shots as Angel gets to the fair, and it's one of those lines that kind of gets washed over because there is sound effects and stuff, and you right. miss it. But it's her standing between two guys watching a pig roast.
Yep.
On a spit.
Yeah.
And she just goes, "Oh, after a couple pints at midnight, that's me."
What?
Wow,
it's great.
Wow, it's like great. A pair yeah. of fucking Chinese finger cuffs.
Yeah,
moving on.
Yeah, and so we go to the supermarket because yes. we end up finding, you know, like there's not, we're just introducing everybody.
Sure.
And basically the master, he played him in the Doctor Who movie, Timothy Dalton.
Ah, Bond.
Yeah, James Bond.
Who's now playing a Bond villain with mustache.
Yes, with a mustache. And so we're introduced to him and we're introduced to...
His cast of
weirdos.
Rejects, I guess.
Yeah, his cast of weirdos. But he's the first person you realize that it's just like, oh, you're evil.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when Ed Harris shows up in a movie. When Ed Harris shows up in a movie, it's like, oh, well, you're the bad guy.
You're the bad guy. Yes, I've seen The Rock.
Yeah, that's how, and so same thing with Timothy Dalton. It's yeah. like Timothy Dalton shows up. It's like, oh, you're the bad guy.
You're not wearing a tuxedo carrying a martini. Clearly, you're the bad guy
yeah.
today.
Yeah, you're playing bad guy today. If you're not James Bond,
right.
you're the villain.
You're the villain.
So he ends up, they try to thwart a shoplifting situation.
Right.
And so, you know, he's in his good graces.
I like when they're sitting in the car and he's trying to explain cop work to Danny.
Yeah.
And he's like, why is that guy wearing such a big coat? Maybe he's got something to hide. Maybe he's just cold. It's like, it's not that kind of weather. And the kid who they end up shoplifting is walking by and he's like, well, look at him. Why has he got his hat pulled down? Because he's fuck ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're like, he finally catches him. We get the wall gag.
Yep.
That's the wall gag for this movie. And Danny runs up and literally knows him instantly.
Oh, of course.
He's like, why didn't you tell me? He's like, well, I couldn't see his face. He had his hat pulled down. I'm not made of eyes. You can feel every part of his tension in this. Oh. It's so well delivered.
Well, it's also so funny because it's such a fish out of water in such a funny way.
Right.
Because he takes this so seriously and right. nobody else is,
right,
you know. And it's not until we find out that like this person at the play was sleeping with this other person and there was an accident.
Yeah, we haven't had a murder yet, right?
No,
because they pulled the guy over for speeding,
right?
And that's the first one. It was the actor.
Right. He needed to get to the play.
Right.
So he gives him two tickets to the play.
As a thank you for letting me go along.
Right.
Which Angel just kind of browbeat him into saying sorry.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What he was looking for.
Yeah.
And it was so well done. And he played off because it was to get the plot device of his notebook into it.
Correct.
Because the notebook is his most dangerous weapon, where he just sat there writing every word down. The guy just kept talking and kept talking and kept talking. And just talked himself into a confession and finally was like, look, I'm sorry. He's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Fun fact, the only time he doesn't bring his notebook is when someone actually dies in front of him.
Yeah.
Plot device. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing,
fucking
baby.
God, this movie is foreshadowing.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so funny because we see that and there's a big car accident and everything is about a car accident.
The Romeo and Juliet play was just atrocious.
Yeah. Oh, it was
but
so
again,
bad.
His reaction, because they go from doing Shakespeare and then they jump right into the Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet shit and they start dancing and shaking their tits around.
Yeah.
And Simon Pegg just has this look like, what the hell am I sitting through?
Right.
Why did you just destroy Shakespeare?
Yeah. And so, yeah, they... We have our first two accidents, right? Or is it just one?
Well, it's the
it's just the car.
It's the two actors. Yeah, they're in one car. It's the actor and his leading lady.
Yes.
With the annoying laugh, and they're decapitated. Well, they're dismembered in many ways.
Yeah, right.
But definitely decapitated, which is reported back as decaffeinated.
Yes.
Because the cop with the sideburns and the glasses. Just can't say, he can't even say London, and he's English.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, you have a phone call from London?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, oh, call him back.
I'll call him back.
But yeah, so they were decaffeinated.
Yep, they were decaffeinated, and so, but it's not foul play. It's just an accident.
They had an accident, which we now have to, language, you have to use collision.
Yeah.
What happened? Automobile collision. Accidentally.
Yeah, right. And so it, you know, it only becomes an issue and weird when the reporter says that there's something weird.
Well, the reporter shows up all the time. Also, Timothy Dalton is showing up at the scene of every crime with a very specific song playing.
Yeah.
This one was Romeo and Juliet.
Yep.
And he starts making like headless jokes and stuff.
Right. Even though that nobody has said that.
Right. He didn't, you know, how do you know the victims? He's like, news travels fast. Might as well have curled his mustache while he said it.
Oh, he's super evil.
Even shenanigans.
Because again, Timothy Dalton.
Right. You're the bad guy.
You're the bad guy.
We get the role you're playing.
The human statue disappears.
Yeah.
The human statue disappears, and so the reporter approaches Nicholas Angel.
Of course.
And he's going to confess something. Because...
The first case he gets is actually Stephen Merchant and his fucking swan.
Yeah, right.
He's like, well, can you describe it? That's white, slender neck. It's a fucking swan.
Yeah, right. Well, there's that. They also commandeer all of those guns.
Yeah, from the farmer.
And the mine.
Yep.
The huge mine.
Like, what was it, underwater mine or some shit?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was like an aqua mine.
Yep.
So, oh God, who knows?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic.
Absolutely.
And they have to store everything back at the station, obviously, and there is an old man there with literally eyes on the entire village.
Yes. It's the central, like,
neighborhood watch.
The neighborhood watch. That's right, because they're not even police.
He's neighborhood watch.
They're neighborhood watch, and we find out how seriously they take their neighborhood watch.
Apparently very.
Very, very seriously.
Goddamn mannequins back, or whatever he calls them. Human robot?
Human statue.
Human statue. He hates them.
Yeah.
He hates every part of
them. He disappears.
Of course he does.
He disappears.
Greater good.
And so then they end up having the fair that you talked about with the pig roast.
Yes.
And the reporter needs to talk to Nicholas Angel because he has something to tell him.
Shit is going down.
Right. And so he turns the corner and a statue is pushed right on top of his head.
Yeah, it's like a spire from the top of the church there.
Yeah.
Incidentally, they have Detective Angel, Nicholas Angel, whatever the hell we're calling him today. He has to draw the names.
Yeah.
So he can't run right over. The two names he draws is Skinnerd and Merchant. Of course, that being Timothy Dalton and the reporter.
Right.
Who are conspicuous by their absence.
Right.
Someone says they're in the bathroom, but then the wind blows in a mysterious way and he senses something. So he goes hauling ass around to where the reporter said to meet him. Just in time to watch that spire drive straight into him.
Yeah, and he dies.
Oh, man.
He dies.
There wasn't much left.
Yeah, no, none at all.
It wasn't much for them to pick up with a mop.
Oh, no. No, and so it continues.
Another accident.
Another accident.
Another accident. What happened? Oh, it's a tragic accident.
Yep.
Shit just fell on him.
Yeah. And so,
but he's flipping out.
Yeah,
because he's screaming murder at this point.
Right,
he's like he's been murdered, and they won't hear it.
Right. Well, they're, and I also believe he sees somebody on the roof.
Well, he gets a hunch. He doesn't actually see him there.
Right.
But he does get enough of a hunch to run all the way up to the roof.
Right.
To just try to figure out what the hell happened. How did this happen?
And, right.
Another foreshadowing. They talked about the swear jar and all the money was going to fix the church roof.
Right.
Right.
Establishing the church roof was already broken and accidentally could fall off on people.
Correct. Correct.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, because this isn't the part where he's chasing him, right?
No.
The hooded figure?
Mm-hmm. Nope. That's the flower shop after Danny's birthday.
That's right. That's right.
Where, which was the time that he forgot his notepad.
Yes.
So he had to go back to the car to grab his notepad, turns around, sees a murder.
Right.
Actually sees the murder. Not like catches it after the fact.
Right.
Sees it happening because he wasn't there with his notepad to see it happen in person. So he had a stutter step type of thing.
Yeah, right. And so is there anything that happens in between that?
Probably.
The house blows up.
Well, yeah, they take the drunkard home. That happened. That was the Point Break and Bad Boys night.
Yes, it was.
So they go to the pub and basically have a similar evening like they did in Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
They just they get shit faced, and there's a little guy who's next to the fucking slot machine or whatever they call him.
Pachinko. I don't know.
Pissing.
It's Japanese.
Pissing on the machine.
Right.
So they pick him up and they take him away and bring him to his home and put him down. And next thing you know, his whole house blows up.
Right. Then
tragic accident.
Yeah.
He wanted some midnight bacon.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Wanted some midnight bacon.
How do you know?
That's.
Yeah, right.
News
right.
travels fast.
News travels fast.
Greater good.
Yeah. And so.
That one, the song was something fire.
Right.
Obviously. But that was the Bad Boys night. Where we get the, you know, did you ever
fire your gun in the air?
Did you ever fire your gun in the air and go, ah? No!
No, I've never fired my...
Did you ever fire two guns? No. Have you ever fired two guns while jumping in the air? No. Have you been in a high-speed pursuit? Yes. You ever fired a gun during a high-speed pursuit? No!
Yeah. It just
By the way, foreshadowing, all this shit happens later.
All of it. Well, that's the thing. You could call this movie either foreshadowing or payoff.
Yes.
Because everything's paid off.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Payoff.
Because... basically, we end up, we get to the flower shop. The flower shop, he sees the murder, he chases, and the person gets away.
Yep, he gets away.
But now we officially know that there is a murderer.
He does.
He does.
They still don't believe her. They believe she tripped and fell on her shears.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible accident. It's a horrible accident.
And then he uncovers that everybody thinks that there's just accidents. It has the most accidents in the county.
Accidents happen every day.
Right.
But the murder rate is down.
Yeah, right. The murder rate is down, even though we're finding accidents every day.
Yeah. I mean, beheadings happen every day.
Right. And so is this the part where the council, like, mugs him?
Kind of. We definitely are getting there because he goes and he questions Timothy Dalton at his shop.
Right.
And he just kind of grills him. He runs down everything. He's accurate as fuck. But then Timothy Dalton is just like, here. Take these fucking security tapes and spool through if you want it. I'm in the store every day.
Yeah.
My alibi is airtight. So he does. He still scrolls through everything because he's a diligent cop.
Right. And so and so this makes you believe that Timothy Dalton is a red herring.
Right. And he goes home and Lurch is there in a hood.
Right.
And they get into a fight. Lurch gets distracted by the silly monkey.
Yes.
And he pots over him with a plant and Danny shows right up and okay, what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, Timothy Dalton is on the other end of the walkie-talkie saying, is he dead? Is he gone? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay,
right.
Everything, all this shit's coming together. So he gets a bunch of evidence, gets a bunch of shit. And then, yeah, he goes to, I don't know where the fuck they were, some communal thing.
Seance?
Yeah. Just chanting the greater good.
Yeah, right. They're creepy
and,
as hell.
You know, there was a lot of, like, even more payoffs is even when he's going up to the flower shop, there's a poster in the window because at the bar after the Romeo and Juliet, Timothy Dalton was talking shit about the people who ended up dying, the
right.
leads, and he pointed out two actors at the bar. He's like, those two are much better, and they're in the thing, and they were on the poster, so they ended up replacing those
right,
two.
Right.
Just weird little shit like that, but they're in the group.
Well, that's ultimately what it's revealed to.
The
is
greater
that,
good.
Is that they're molding this town into how they actually want it to be.
Right.
And it's funny because you think... everybody's getting murdered for like other nefarious reasons.
Nope.
And they're far more simple.
Yep.
You know, this person was going to sell their house and
it was a gaudy house.
Yeah, right. And so
we're a small, simple village and he had to make this gaudy house. It had to go.
Right. And that's why they murdered him. And it was like, oh, this person was bringing in like riffraff from this thing.
The quality of the newspaper went down because the reporter couldn't spell.
Right.
Which we established a bunch. He first article with Angel was said angle.
Right. And that's the right. And so
just because the quality of the reporting went down.
Right. And so it's funny because find out that like Nicholas is following these murders, but they're all getting murdered for not the reason he thinks.
And it wasn't even that the flower lady was going to sell her place and move away, which she was. It was they go, we couldn't let her bring her green thumb to any other neighborhood. We have a reputation to uphold.
Right.
It's like, you just wanted flowers?
Yeah, right. Right. And that's the funniest part about this. That
is there no other gardeners in the city?
Also, have we talked about Danny's dad?
He's there as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's there. And now here's the questionable part. Because Danny shows up.
Yeah.
Did Danny know the whole time?
Danny,
and he was just kind of playing along for the greater good thing.
He had to have
right, because he shows right up, and it's like,
I think that there's like an inner circle. So maybe Danny's not in the inner circle, and that's why like the newspaper reporter, he's not in the inner circle,
right?
So he doesn't know about the greater good, you know, and so maybe,
or Danny could just be like one of the simpleton minions, much like the supermarket guys, like right. The big lurch guy and the waste removal guys who are also the seafood guys in the supermarket and stuff.
Right.
So he could just be like, you know, they need somebody to, you know, be on the police force and sign all the paperwork and stuff.
Right.
That's got to be Danny.
Right.
All these accidents keep happening. Somebody has to take care of it. Danny.
Right.
Because, I mean, he's there. He knows where Angel was going.
Right.
But he also, I feel, is finally having so much fun being a cop that he just kind of snaps to and is like, this isn't right. I want to do more cop shit.
I want to be a cop.
Because that's why he didn't even tell Angel about his birthday.
Right.
Because they all come in with a birthday cake for him. And he's like, you didn't tell me it was your birthday. He's like, we were working. It was fun.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, my God. You are simple.
Yeah, right. Right. He did a great job.
So we load up.
Yeah, because they're going to take on
town. Through this one.
I know we are.
So they load up to take on the town, the whole town. And this is where pretty much every payoff comes through.
Oh, all of them.
Why was that guy wearing such a big overcoat? Because he had two shotguns underneath.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Everything Angel said came true.
Oh, absolutely. And then they're diving through the air shooting.
They got double shotguns. He's riding a horse at one point.
Right.
Why?
Oh, everything is awesome. My favorite thing is we recreate the Patrick Swayze Keanu Reeves scene.
Yep, the gun in the air
in
yelling,
the air,
ah.
Because he couldn't shoot his dad.
Yep.
He couldn't shoot his dad, so he rolls over and fires into the air, much like Keanu Reeves couldn't shoot Patrick Swayze.
Because Dalton Point Eyes.
Because Dalton.
Dalton
Look,
Eyes.
If one person could ultimately man up.
Dalton Eyes.
Dalton Eyes.
There you go.
It's such an awesome action sequence, too.
It really is.
You know, again, I think that this is one where they let the action play out in a very fun way. The Edgar Wright style of editing definitely helps.
Yep.
Because it's frenetic, but also very watchable.
Right.
Right? It's not just a million gunshots everywhere and you don't know what's happening and muzzle flashes.
Right.
You can see everything. There's comedic timing where, you know, the hag,
from the crossword puzzle
pays off everything. The cops and, you know, all of their witty banter and dialogue.
The Andes.
You know, everything about it is paid off in such a great way.
Right.
Ultimately ending in the Point Break scene.
Right.
And then Timothy Dalton running away and they end up in the model town.
I love it. Yeah. They basically have a Godzilla fight.
Yeah. They have a Godzilla fight. It's a
Godzilla fight in the model town. Another fun fact about this final action sequence, nobody dies.
Yeah.
Because he's such a diligent cop. Despite all the gunshots, despite all the shotgunning, he's hitting people in the legs and the shoulders because in the end, you see every one of these people getting mugshotted.
Right.
Every single one of them. So yeah, he processes everybody.
Timothy Dalton's final thing is the funniest thing in the world, where he gets impaled on the spire.
Yes, of course, because payoffs. Because
payoffs.
He impaled the reporter on the spire, so he's and as it's sliding through his the bottom of his chin out his mouth, he's just going, "Ow,
ow."
I don't know what I would say if I ever got a spire stuck through the bottom of my chin out my mouth, but I don't know, maybe not E.T.'s version of ow.
Ouch.
And then we get back to the station, and we've forgotten that the Neighborhood Watch is still there the whole time, and he's pissed off as hell, and he's got all the guns in his room.
Yeah.
So he shoots Danny.
Yep.
And, well, Danny kind of does the hero save where he dives in front of him. Takes a buckshot to the stomach, and basically Angel pushes him in. And he falls back onto that mine.
And it blows up.
And it's just like one little post that goes in.
Yeah.
And the whole station explodes. And I don't know. To me, it looked like crawling out of the rubble at the end of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all. I'm like, none of these people would be alive, first of all. And that bodes the other question: is the Neighborhood Watch guy still alive?
Oh, we don't know. He's gonna rebuild the Neighborhood Watch.
He's gonna rebuild it because nobody died in the movie except for the people that died.
Right.
Except for the murders.
Yeah. And then he's invited to go back to London,
mm-hmm.
and he declines.
Yeah. He's happy now.
He's happy now.
In the country.
In the country.
Now that they've acknowledged murder.
Yeah, right. Now that they've acknowledged what murder is.
We've blown up the entire countryside and have acknowledged that people have been murdered here for decades.
And it's okay now.
I'm good. Good.
I saved this town.
Did you?
Much like the hero Kevin Bacon saved that town with dancing.
Tiny town of Footloose.
Yeah, he is.
Did you?
I mean, English Kevin Bacon.
The greater good seemed to be working.
Yeah.
The greater good.
Yeah. Only a person or two got murdered,
yeah,
I guess.
Or 15.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah, maybe.
He did find that crypt with all the skeletons and stuff.
He did, and the human statue.
And the human statue and stuff. He's there.
Yeah, I don't want to say that Hot Fuzz is my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy,
mm-hmm.
and it's far superior. But it is my favorite, and it's far superior.
You know, for years, it was probably maybe 2 years ago that I realized that Cornetto was not the name of a town, but actually the ice cream desserts that they're eating.
Yeah.
I always heard the term Cornetto, and I just figured it must be the name of the town that they're in.
Yeah, or a producer or something.
Yeah, something like that. But no, it's name of ice creams that they eat in these movies with colors specific to the movies.
Right.
Of course, in Shaun of the Dead, it was red. This one is blue for police.
Yeah.
And then in World's End, it's green for aliens.
Yes.
Foreshadowing. Brilliant.
Yeah. They're really smart at what they do. These are very fun. They're very well put together movies. You know, we said it right about here, but I didn't really like, I don't want to say I didn't like Shaun of the Dead because I really like Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to film school because it was already out,
right?
And so, because obviously, like we established, I was a senior in high school when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And so Shaun of the Dead was very much played out, and zombies were very played out.
Right.
Because I went to film school, and every stupid kid had this is my zombie survival backpack.
They probably did, too.
Stop smoking so much weed. That you're like, zombies are really going to happen.
Well, it was also around the time The Walking Dead started.
That's true.
So that was kind of taking over people's lives. And there was a run around when Walking Dead started and Shaun of the Dead came out and the Dawn of the Dead remake came out.
Right.
That zombies were a thing.
Oh, yeah. They were.
And yeah, everybody was doing that. It's toned down a bit. Now they have a bit more, it seems like they have a bit more fun. They do the zombie fun runs and the zombie 5Ks, which look fun as shit. It's like,
yeah,
if you're a runner being chased by a zombie, might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Well, it was like everything was a zombie.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, there were legit people with zombie, like, to-go bags.
Yeah.
You know, under their bed, packed with supplies. It's like,
why?
You know this is fiction.
Right.
You know, I don't want to do the Holden McNeil thing again, but it's like fictional characters.
Yeah.
They're fictional. They're not real.
They're not real.
Zombies aren't, the undead aren't real.
Yeah.
Fictional characters.
Also, here's the thing. If all of a sudden the dead were to just rise up and just like be here.
Right.
there's some supernatural bullshit that I don't think the samurai sword you bought from a head shop is going to help.
Yeah. I don't think the mythology would hold up in real life.
Right. You know what I mean?
What are the rules?
Yeah. We don't know.
What are the rules?
We don't know. Is this what? Are they fast zombies? Not fast zombies? Like, what the hell, man?
It's like that episode of Always Sunny when Mac has to take a slap shot at the Flyers game and he has no idea what to do with a hockey stick. And he goes, all of my instincts say to use this as a weapon. Well, that's not right.
That's not right. That's not accurate.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, but is that Hot Fuzz?
That's Hot Fuzz.
Wow. Quick one. That was Hot Fuzz. Yeah. So we went right into the middle of the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah, we did.
So I'm a fan of A World's End.
I love A World's End.
I like it, and I especially like. There was a point where I'm like, it was getting long for me, but then that ending was his speech at the end was so good, and I'm just like,
yeah.
What's everybody's beef? What's the beef?
Again, I think that the problem with The World's End is that it came out so close to This Is the End, and people just got confused.
Title and premise were way too similar.
It's kind of like when Observe and Report came out and Paul Blart Mall Cop came out. And it's like, those movies aren't the same at all.
No. And the worst one was more popular.
Right.
But Observe and Report is excellent.
But you look at it, and it's just like, oh, it's about mall security.
Right. Must be right? The same.
And so, oh, World's End, This Is the End. Oh, it's both about the apocalypse.
It's so weird how these, because it happens all the time. Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Right.
I'm sure there was something that came out with around Twister that was similar to that.
Oh, yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
Right. Yeah, Twister and Wizard of Oz. Same movie. Same year.
Exactly. Same year.
Same year.
Bill Paxton was in 1939, apparently.
Yeah. But I think that unfortunately that's the problem that it has.
Just bad luck.
It's just bad timing.
Yeah.
Because I think if it separates out, because I want to say they were even only like a month apart, you know, and
it probably makes sense.
They were only a month apart. And yeah, the At World's End, people that know it love it.
It's great.
You know,
it's a fun movie.
Everybody that's seen it loves it, and it fits right in with those three movies.
Right.
You know, because you have the zombie horror movie, you have the buddy cop action movie, and then you have the sci-fi movie.
Right.
Right?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, basically.
Right. And, you know, so it's if you're in from Shaun of the Dead to Hot Fuzz,
you might as well.
You're in from Hot Fuzz to,
like, you know what? I've heard bad things.
Yeah.
It only had a 62 on Rotten Tomatoes, so eat a dick.
Yeah.
Like, give it a watch. You give it a watch and let us know what you think on social media at Mike Went Liam, NAI, hashtag that movie show.
You just mentioned it about the Rotten Tomato thing.
See what it actually is?
Well, no, I always had a problem with that.
Right.
Right? Because everybody was just like, took it as a test score.
I never understood people's, their allegiance. They treat it like the Bible, basically. It's like, even reputable movie critics I disagree with constantly.
Oh, all the time.
Roger Ebert was not, like, in line with what I think.
Right.
And he's, like, one of the most world-renowned movie critics.
Right. You know, you look at movies.
He didn't like Step Brothers at all.
Oh, yeah.
His review was scathing.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
But you look at Rotten Tomatoes, and people want to say that it's like 100% is like a test score, and it's just like, this movie is perfect. Where it's like, no, you have to look at it as, if you asked 100 people, 67 of these people would say, go see this movie.
So what you're saying is people that follow Rotten Tomatoes as like a guide for what to see and what not to see are basically basing their faith on the fucking Family Feud.
Yeah, they are. That is exactly what it is. That's exactly
what
it
is. And they take those surveys in malls.
You know, I always...
Mall people are what you're basing your movie going experience on.
Yeah, not
like,
a,
I've never been asked.
Not
and I've never
Amazon
submitted anything to fucking... I've never been submitted anything to Rotten Tomatoes. I see a lot of movies.
Right.
You want my opinion? It's right here on that movie show.
That's exactly right.
It's a cheap plug on the own show.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You already know that we have opinions on movies because you're watching or listening to this show.
I would hope you subscribed at this point.
If, I mean,
what
so.
Are you doing?
Oh, I hope so,
I hope you've told your friends to subscribe to the show as well.
Yeah.
So coming up next week, it's a little interesting.
Yeah.
So Dark Phoenix is coming out.
Yes, it is.
Which is being heralded as the final X-Men movie, at least for a while.
Yes.
And what I've been doing over the last few weeks is posting basically a tournament of X-Men.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Head to head, I went basically, I took them in chronological order, and I went first and last, and then just went in,
right,
in that thing.
Right in that way.
There was no, like, you know, ranking. I didn't go to Rotten Tomatoes and see what's the worst one versus the best one. No, just first to last chronologically. Yeah. I cut out Deadpool and stuff because we did Deadpool. I'm guessing at some point we'll get to Logan, so I didn't include that.
Yeah.
I took out the ones I kind of felt we're going to do anyway.
Right.
But
yeah,
I don't see us getting through the whole X-Men
catalog.
And basically, it's down to Days of Futures Past and First Class.
Yeah, I mean, that's all.
In the finals.
That's what it feels like.
And so if you're listening to this or if you're watching this right now, go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. It'll be there. The poll will be right at the top. Actually, probably right below this video is where you'll find it. And if you're on Twitter, at Mike Wendt, at Liam NAI, you'll find the poll on our Twitter. And just let us know if you want us to next week review First Class or Days of Futures Past. Those are your choices.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want us to review something else, just let us know. Somebody said we should review Twister. That's why it was in my head.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, they tweeted today that because of all the natural disasters happening.
Yeah.
They're like, because Twister. And I'm like,
because of all the Twisters in Kansas?
I mean, yeah, we are heartless people, but damn. That's like, ooh, maybe we'll wait a couple months. I don't know.
No, we should do it this month.
All right, fair enough. Maybe we'll substitute something. You know what? If the votes aren't in for X-Men, maybe we'll just do Twister.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But that'll come up next week right here on That Movie Show. So please subscribe on all podcasting apps. The easiest thing to do, just type That Movie Show. You'll see a little logo. Hit subscribe.
Yeah, it's great.
Boom. Easy. Done. You can find us. You can also find all of our audio and video archives at newageinsiders.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. You can follow Liam and myself on social media at Mike Wendt, at Liam NAI, #thatmovieshow. And if you want us to review something, much like the person who wanted us to review Twister,
let us know.
Let us know, even if it's for that reason.
Yeah.
Hey, natural disasters. Can you do this movie? Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Let's do it. We've had worse suggestions. Where's that DVD, by the way, that somebody was going to send us? It was like the Pinocchio Rage horror movie.
No, they never reached out.
Oh, come on. Get your shit together, Internet.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.